Oh, I put Josh Denny on the screen.
Oh, no. Welcome to my show, everyone. I'm the new host of the program with Harry Smith.
That's because we swapped places, so we wouldn't be looking off that way. Hey, guys. Hey, the chat is used to me making mistakes. Josh, one time I did a live stream with Constantine Kissin a couple months ago, and as soon as we started the live stream, I accidentally hit the wrong button and ended the whole thing. Pretty embarrassing.
I've done that on my own show many times. Like I use an Apple Magic Mouse on my machine, and if you just swipe your finger left across it, it will just move the browser to the last page. So I've dumped out of my own podcast so many times, just like swiping the mouse the wrong, like nudging
the
mouse.
Oh no! Yeah. Well, welcome.
So that happens while I'm here. That's what happened. I just swiped the mouse.
Well, welcome to a live Kerfethry break on Deprogram with Carrie Smith. I'm your host, Carrie. We're hanging out today on this Friday. We're just going to talk about some stuff in the news and whatever you guys are interested in. And yes, I see you, Sue. We will have organic frivolity. my co-host today is a comedian, Josh Denny, who I haven't spoken to in quite a while. I'm excited to hear what he's up to. Why don't you tell people, you told me right before we started, you're currently doing a lot more live dates.
Yeah, we're finally out doing the road again and doing shows. And we found a way to do it to where we're not getting protested and canceled and having our dates taken down. So we did a nice show for about just under 400 people in Orlando at the end of June, which was a blast. And so we decided to add some more dates. We'll be doing September 10th in Las Vegas. And then we're doing September 23rd and 24th in Dallas, Texas. And then little treasure for everybody. Real big show coming up at the beginning of October in New York City. So the tickets won't go on sale for that until the end of August, I think. But yeah, they can get shows now for Vegas and Dallas. It's called the Cognitive Dissidence Tour. And you can see me and Gavin McInnes and Anthony Cumia.
That's a great lineup. No wonder you have a system so that you don't get canceled from these venues, because what do you guys do?
We don't release the venue information until the day of the show. So the cool thing about some of these different ticketing platforms is you can do like a venue TBA, and so we just start selling tickets and we release the venue information on the day of the show.
It's both sad that you have to do it that way, but also pretty great that you can just kind of hold it back, because otherwise, I mean, I saw you tweet about this. If they can cancel Dave Chappelle,
oh yeah,
then why can't, you know, it's sort of like when they banned Trump from Twitter. It didn't matter to me so much that it was Trump. It could have been any president. The point is, if they can ban the president of the United States from Twitter, we stand no chance.
Yeah, of course. Of course, totally. And, you know, that's what's so wild about it. I wrote, I don't know if you read Christian Toto at all. I think he does, what is it, Hollywood?
Oh, I love Christian Toto.
Yeah, basically like the conservative. He's the only conservative Hollywood sort of trade writer. But he took a comment from me on that. And I said, you know, I lived in Minneapolis for many, many years. I mean, First Ave was like this legendary venue. Everybody, before I was in comedy, I was in bands and stuff. And so it was always like a dream to play First Avenue. The closest any of my bands ever got was the little side club, 7th Street Entry. But, you know, the club has Gigi Allen's name on the side of the building. And it's like, you're known for being this sort of bastion of free speech and artistic expression. You know, most people know First Avenue from the movie Purple Rain. Prince kind of made that venue famous.
Okay.
And so, you know, for it to be sort of this like legendary institute of the arts to be now pro corporatism, censorship and mob rule. I mean, it's the most anti-art thing that's happened. This to me would be like the comedy or live event equivalent of like a Fahrenheit 451 burning of an entire library or something, you know?
Yeah. It's an absolute, I did see some censorship apologists on Twitter trying to say, well, you can't call it cancellation because he was able to find another venue and move the show. It's like,
dude, what if he wasn't?
What if he wasn't? Exactly. They literally canceled the show. I think you can call it a cancellation.
Yeah. I mean, the day before, by the way, it was the day before, I think they shut it down and he was able to pivot. And in all honesty, he's smarter. He's got to be smarter than me. And so he had to have other venues lined up in case this kind of thing happened. I imagine he has a backup probably in every city ready to go in case this kind of thing happens. But, you know, but Dave could do what we do where he just doesn't announce where the venue is going to be until the day of the show. And then, you know, what's amazing is like we even have this. We have people that think if they buy tickets, they will get the information and then they can leak it. And then so I get like refund requests from these people. They'll buy tickets and then an hour later they're like, oh, I just found out I can't go. And I will vet them. I will call Anthony or Gavin and go, is this person a subscriber of ours and a fan of ours? And if they're not, I'm not going to give them their fucking money back because they're probably trying to leak our venue information to the press. And then they spent the money and realized they're not going to get it. So they're crafty. I mean, these people will do anything they can to try to silence anybody who doesn't agree with them. And it's like, what are you silencing? Like the things we say on stage are not even things that we necessarily think. They're things we think are funny. And so this whole idea that not only are you not going to allow us to not be taken seriously, you're going to demand that everything we say be taken as sort of a gospel statement against society. And then you're going to take action and mobilize against that. So it's so far removed from reality that it's a scary thing. And, you know, it makes it hard for people without the resources or the cunning, I guess, to avoid this kind of stuff. It makes it hard for everybody to go out and make a living and entertain people.
Yeah, I know. I was just talking to Alex Stein the other day and he was like, he said he's been
great.
Yeah, I love the kind of comedy he's doing. I don't know what I would call it. Man on the street interaction.
Yeah, it's kind trolling, of like, it's very Kaufman-esque, right? Where he's like fully leaned into this. I mean, if you want to ask what it is, I think Alex Stein is like on the cutting edge of cringe humor now, to where it's like
cringe humor
in terms of just completely putting his foot on the gas and being totally willing to put himself in uncomfortable positions, to put other people in uncomfortable positions. I mean, he's like the king of conservative cringe.
I love it.
Well, I hope that catches on and I get credit for it. King of conservative cringe, but in the best way possible. It's so great.
Yeah. Well, he was saying that like a lot of his venues have canceled on him because of threats of protests and that's why you can't announce it ahead of time. Even the Better Discourse Conference, which I've been to a few of those now, it's put on by Myth Informed. And they got so many threats from Antifa in the early days when they were doing conferences, and that they purposefully keep the venue and the hotel where they're putting up speakers private until the day before for the same reason. And there was a bomb threat one of the ones I went to at the hotel we were staying at, because someone had leaked that had publicized the name of the hotel. But it is a shame. It's like people have to.
And some people think like, you know, I have detractors who are like, oh, you're that afraid of trolls. It's like, no, we're that afraid of like Antifa and organized protesters. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they go, oh, you don't have anything to worry about. Well, before we did this show in Orlando, the last live show or last live talk that Gavin McInnes gave was back in 2017 in New York. Antifa showed up, attacked the Proud Boys and the people attending that venue or that event. The Proud Boys and everybody at that event defended themselves, and because the criminal prosecutor in New York is very left-leaning, threw the book at the Proud Boys who violently defended themselves, acted in self-defense, and two of those guys did 4 years in prison, are currently serving terms. So it's like, that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid bloodshed because there's people in this country who can't live with the fact that everyone doesn't think like them.
Yeah. Yeah, if I recall correctly, what one of those Proud Boys who is serving time, isn't he? Weren't they trying to call them all white supremacists? And isn't he married?
He has a black wife with mixed children. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's I remember that guy in the news. That's awful. Well, I should
know his name better than I do. I always get them confused because there's two guys. There's John and is it John and Max? Yeah, I think the one you're talking about is John Kinsman.
John Kinsman.
Yeah, that's John.
Well,
I'm pretty sure he's the one who has has the black wife, and you know, but it's just like, but not that that should disqualify anybody from, you know, not that right, we're using sort of leftist logic of like anyone who has a black wife should just not ever have to deal with criminal prosecution, even though that's kind of like the world that the left wants to live in now, is that if you're part of one of these so-called marginalized groups, that there should be zero consequences for your actions. Unfortunately, there are people in the criminal justice system who think that that's the way that it is, or that's the way that it should be. And they have this idea that, like, well, any white person who defends themselves or commits an act of violence in self-defense is doing so from a racist place. You see people mm-hmm. say this about Kyle Rittenhouse. And, you know, so there's this, we live in this crazy upside down where it's like, if a white person defends themselves, they're a white supremacist. And if a black person acts in violent, cold-blooded, premeditated, you know, acts like first degree murder or organized crime, things like that, then they're just the victims of a terrible system and they should be let off with a warning. And it's like, that is fucking insane.
Yeah.
And that to me is the definition of racism. Like, you're talking about systemic racism. We've created it when it didn't exist to now where we literally, our justice system views black people as so subhuman that they don't believe they should be held responsible for their actions. That's California. That's the way the justice system is working in California right now. We can't blame these black people for their choices. They're not regular people capable of making their own decisions and being held accountable. They're victims of some tyrannical system. And so, you know, it's like, it's scary because you look at that and I look around in California and it's like, dude, they're creating racism. They're creating yeah. white supremacy, because there are people who look at that and go, what the fuck? You see these stories of like these homeless psychopaths in downtown LA, like murdering innocent women as they're walking home from the Staples Center or something. It's like, that's going to create a whole new swath of actual white supremacy, because our elected leaders who we put in position to protect us aren't doing anything to protect us.
Yeah. Now, the reason I found it interesting is just to go back to the guy who served time, is just because they always try and call people white supremacist or sexist or transphobe. And a lot of times what happens is they end up throwing that label on anyone and everyone, as you know, of course. And they even put it on people who it's like, wait a minute, that is a black person. And not, again, I'm sure there are some black people who could have what they call internalized white supremacy or what have you.
Oh my God, yeah, but, our buddy Larry
but
Elder,
not
right?
that many. Right, the Larry Elder, the black face of white supremacy. Oh my God. That's how they try to get around their sort of, the fact that they break the rules of their own ideology, where they're like, you know, white people need to sit down and shut up and listen to black people and black voices. Unless they're Larry Elder or Candace Owens or any of these other long lists of black people that don't push our belief system, then just we're going to say they're white supremacists inside. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. It's like, it's so, I say this on every podcast. I think I even said it on yours when I was on last year, but it's like, I oftentimes feel like we're that scene in the Matrix where she's like, don't worry about the vase. And he goes, what vase? And he turns and he knocks it over. And she goes, it's really going to blow your mind if you think about, would you have knocked it over had I not said anything? And it's sort of, and I'm butchering the quote or whatever, that really is what we have created with race in this country, is we invented a world that did not exist until we sought to fix this problem. By trying to fix this problem that didn't exist, we've created it.
And yes.
It's really sickening to watch. And I really rack my brain as a comedian of like, can I make content and comedy and funny stuff that like highlights this enough to where we can course correct? And I don't know, because I don't know if the government's going to do it. I don't know if any politician can do it. I mean, I think if anyone can, it's Ron DeSantis. But, you know, we really are at this critical juncture of, if we don't stop and correct this madness, it's going to get away from us. And we are going to head to some insane kind of split society in this country, one half living in reality and the other half living in a simulation that's literally created by our own fears of a racist country being manifested into an actual racist country.
Yeah. It's almost like, well, for a while now, the past few years, I've been saying, you know, like a lot of people, it's not really about right left at all. It's about authoritarians versus individualists. But now I've been hearing people say it's not even about that. It's about people who live in reality versus those who don't.
Yeah, I've been guilty of saying that myself, but it's
true. It's true. My pastor talks about this too. I sort of feel like you're saying, like, what can fix it is, you know, can we do comedy about it? And is there a political, like, can someone like DeSantis fix things? I don't look to the politicians. There are some I like more than others, but I think it is what you said at first. I think it's comedy. I think it's culture. It's people doing what Eric July is doing with Ripperverse and creating alternative comics that don't have this evil belief system in it. It's people doing, I just got to talk with Josiah Rises. He's coming out with he's got a company called Epicverse. They're going to be doing alternative film and TV. It's people like you going on the road and having to be clever about releasing the venues the day of so that you don't get canceled, to still be able to go out and do comedy that doesn't have this ideology in it. So I really think we have to change the culture first. And I think it's, I don't know. I went to, give me just a little bit of tolerance for me to say this quickly. My atheist viewers, last night I was at a church meeting and I got so inspired because my pastor was talking about how, bear with me on this, Josh, tell me what you think about this. Okay.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, he was saying
I'm not, by the way, just so you know, I don't know if it makes you any more or less comfortable, but I am not vehemently for or against religion in any way. I think religion serves a tremendous purpose in our society, and I think without it, we definitely haven't improved. I think a big part of why America, we talked about this a year ago, I think a big part of the crisis of purpose in this country comes from a lack of religion outside of professional purpose or so, you know, whereas like religion sort of gave people this peace of mind for purpose or higher meaning for so long in America, as atheism has sort of rolled up and become more popularized, people have to find meaning in other things. And that has unfortunately become wealth. What's the other thing I'm looking for? Like materialism and identity. And those are obviously not better things because of how they sort of have manifested into, in a strange way.
It's and like political ideology.
Yeah. Well, that's part of identity, right? Like I'm a conservative, gay, whatever, you know, it's just labeling. But what's strange is like in getting away from organized religion, we've created new ones that were far more crusader-like about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, people talk about how horrible the Crusades were, and it's like we're living in a modern Crusades of ideologies where, you know, these people are killing over their beliefs like it is, you know, the Christians versus the Muslims all those years ago. So, but anyway,
well, one of the things
I'm a big fan of religion, even though I wouldn't say I myself am personally religious.
Okay, well, cool. Well, so here, tell me what you think about this. He's basically saying that God created, that there's these three pillars of a functioning society. And when these three pillars are functioning correctly, sort of like a checks and balances of one another, that society thrives. And he was like, you know, those three pillars are the family, these three institutions, the family, the church, and the state. And he was sort of saying, you know, the function of the family has always been is child rearing. It's to raise the next generation and raise a healthy generation of humans. And, you know, from a Christian perspective, raise people who put God in the proper place in their life. He said the purpose of the church, well, let me skip to the state. The purpose of the state is to keep the peace, you know, to reward the good, punish the bad. And the purpose of the church is to sort of, to speak truth to both and to hold them to account. And so he was like, when this functions correctly, now when it gets corrupt, it doesn't work. He's like, if the church becomes the state, you get the Holy Roman Empire, right?
Yeah.
But if they're functioning correctly,
I talk about that tremendously.
Society will flourish.
Anybody who's religious should view government as the largest enemy that they have, because if you believe in the good book, the earliest, one of the earliest forms of government killed God. Literally, people said there's this, or the son of God. There's this, you know, this legend of a person who heals people and walks on water and performs miracles and puts good and love into the world. And the government said, we gotta kill this motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. And so the government killed him. Oh, yeah, and totally.
So like, you know, it's like, if you are a religious person, you should be the most suspicious of government, because it has been the enemy of real magic and love since the beginning of, you know, right, recorded history.
So his point was that the family, over the past 50 or 60 years, especially in the U.S., that the family has sort of abdicated its responsibility and is now allowing the government to raise their kids. And saying, wait, why are you, what are you teaching them? Like, it's like, what's going on? He said, and also the church, we allowed, Christians allowed them ourselves to be convinced that we shouldn't, that it's somehow forcing our beliefs to say what we think about things, not to force it, but to say what we think and to speak truth to the state. And this was his point that I think you might agree with. He was like, in the absence of the church doing its role and speaking truth to the state about when they're pushing immorality, and when they're overreaching and overstepping, in the absence of that, another church will step into that role. And the church of woke is doing that. The church of woke has no problem standing up and saying, this is immoral, this is moral, this is how to behave, government, this is what to do in law, government. Like, they're running, they're the ones advising, they are the advisors to the magistrates right now, the woke.
Yeah, we kind of went from this thing of like, there shouldn't be prayer in school, which I agree with, to where we can't even talk about religion in school, which I think is dangerous, because to your point, then a new religion takes its place. And that's the biggest issue I have with sort of like wokeism, is that to me feels like prayer in church. And like, you know, I would say, if people ask me to describe like the most religious thing, I mean, I've gone to more Baha'i church in the last, you know, 10 years, because that's how my girlfriend was raised. And I don't have family out here, so when we would do functions with her family, we would go to Baha'i church. But the Baha'i faith really sort of believes that all religions are valid and probably historically true, and true historical representations of man's different interactions with God and prophets and that type of thing. So it really is sort of like an inclusive religion that sort of acknowledges that like every religion has its place in society and culture, and they're all of equal value, and there's not one that's right and one that's wrong. They're all, you know, specific to their culture, whatever. So that's always kind of been my take on it. And I mean, not my take on it, but I think the one that I've, of all the different religious scenarios and people I've came up around or experienced and been around, I've been around people that are Buddhist or people that are Muslim, people that are Baha'i, Christian, Catholic, Protestant. And that's the one to me that makes the most sense. I mean, I get very, very science, very like History Channel, Sci-Fi Channel about this stuff, that I think almost all religious experiences recorded in history were probably us dealing with our creators or extraterrestrials and trying to unpack and explain science or technology that we didn't understand back then. And so I think it's probably true, but I don't think it's necessarily as sort of traditionally as magical as people might think or feel about it. So, but I definitely think, you know, religion, organized religion, kind of helps, should help guide government in the sense of like, government's responsibility should be very simple, right? And going back to like ancient Greece and Rome, the law and government had three basic purposes: to maintain order, to uphold some sense of common morality and decency, and to settle disputes. Well, to me, the church or culture or religion, whatever a group of people have, that really is the part that steers that middle one of uphold a common morality and a sense of right and wrong and that type of thing. And so what happens without some sort of overarching religion that sort of guides those principles, it becomes sort of like an every man for himself, which for the most part in America has never been a problem, I think, up until now, to where it's become so decentralized in terms of what kind of religion, culture, or values guide our society, that people think that nothing guides our society. There are no universal culture or values or anything, that it's this free-for-all. And so if you teach third grade math in Florida and you think you know, babies can decide what gender they are and should start transitioning, then you're allowed to disperse that knowledge and guide culture in that way, in whatever way you see fit. And so I think that's dangerous, because when you have all these different sort of rogue factions popping up of ideologies, you're going to find out what the quiet majority is a lot faster, because those people are going to start to push back and they're going to go, no, you're not going to teach my 3-year-old or my 4-year-old or however old preschoolers are,
yeah,
that they might be a girl before they even understand the concept of what boys and girls really are.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that becomes, and it's almost like cultist, the way that people are trying to force their ideology on other people. The idea of taking prayer out of school was so that no ideology was forced on anyone unwillingly. And now they're forcing a different ideology on people unwillingly.
Absolutely.
Because church has been taken out of school.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for let me talk about that for a second, because it's still in my mind. I'll probably end up trying to write some things down today just to get it out, what I'm thinking about it. But I, at the end, he was sort of doing a call to action, and I agree with him. I mean, I'm like,
was the donation plate involved?
No.
That's no. Usually their call to action. And that's no. Why you got to put money in the
No, our church doesn't even... I mean, we don't even, it's just members that are called to tithe, not visitors or anything, but this wasn't, there was no
those
tithing
are my favorite,
last
those
night.
Are my favorite religions. Those
it
are
was
my
like,
churches
are the no, the call to action church. Was, no, the call to action was that if you're a Christian, it's like, why aren't you speaking without shame about what your beliefs are, about what's right and wrong? Because the woke are doing it. Mm-hmm. Why have you been convinced to tuck your tail and hide and be like, separation of church and I'll just keep my beliefs to one day a week, and otherwise I won't talk about it, you know, like what I believe. And I really agreed with that. So, and he was saying, Josh, he was like, you know who's out there fighting this culture war and speaking loudly and saying, where are the Christians? The atheists, like James Lindsay and Jordan Peterson, who maybe not be an atheist, but they're out there saying, like, where are the Christians? They're grooming kids. Where are you guys? Yeah. Like, oh, I lost you. I think I lost you. I'm gonna text him to rejoin us. Okay, well, while he's doing, oh, there he is.
Called it. I literally did the thing.
What'd you do? You did your little mouse thing?
No, I was trying to toggle Windows or something.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, hey,
you know, as concerning as it is, like, you know, to have the religious right and being a guy who kind of came up in the 80s and 90s, they were always sort of the enemies of free speech and art. But now it's like, in many ways, they're nowhere to be found where they should be. You know, it's like you should be in there fighting for, you know, your culture and your ideas and decency, because yeah. I think a lot of, you know, while I have my own issues with the religious right or the Christian right, the far leaning right, this idea that this religious right factor that believes the next step behind outlawing abortion is like it making birth control illegal, that's fucking retarded. And so, you know, I'm against that wholly, but so that's like that's the super conservative religious right that I take exception to, but like, by all means, please uphold the values you know, in society that are Western, that the country was founded on, that I think most of us agree on, like maybe don't fuck our kids when they go to school. That's a good one.
Do you think it's that people,
they should be fucked in church on Sundays.
Stop! Like,
that's where they just, I want them molested under the eyes of God, not in some public school.
I just want to remind you, somebody said, what's this guy's credentials? He is a comedian, guys. You can find him at joshdiddycomedy.com.
They should their molestation should be reserved for the Sabbath, not done in a public school. What are we,
Sabbath? Oh my gosh. Okay, I just want to say hello to someone who showed up in the chat. Hello, Comics Division. Do you guys know each other? Do you know him?
I don't think so. Maybe
you should know him. He's really smart and great fun. Okay. And then there was one other, Adam just wanted me to know it's International Tiger Day. I didn't know that, but that's exciting. I will let my dog know, because that's
his
name.
Better be some Tiger King content coming on Netflix today. I'll tell you, they're doing so bad financially that they better get 10 Tiger King shows
Netflix.
Ready to go. Yeah.
Have you seen Tiger King?
Yeah. I got swept up in that.
I did too.
During the pandemic, of course. First of all, what are you, rednecks? Homosexual tiger wrangling rednecks? Is there anything more? I'm in. You know what I mean? When that guy was like, "These are my husbands," I was like, "Holy shit, this is fucking great."
He's walking around with guns.
I mean, it's so funny. It's so funny. It is one of the. There was another show that I liked that reminded me, that Tiger King reminded me of, and it was like very niche. And like not a lot of people watched it. It was like a TLC reality show, and it was called Small Town Sheriff. Did you ever watch that show?
No, I didn't.
And it's literally about this like lady sheriff, or maybe she's like a bounty hunter or something. I think she's like a bounty. I don't know. Let me look this up. But she was like one of these people who thought she was going to be like a famous actress, and she was like a nut job. Small Town Security was on AMC. Okay. I'm telling you, if you like Tiger King, you have to watch this show, Small Town Security, because it's literally about this insane woman who thinks that she's like what was like the hottest woman to ever live, and now she runs this like security firm, and her number two in command is a transgender man who is in love with her. And they have like this strange affair going on behind her nicest guy in the world, old man, cuckold of a husband. It is the most interesting white trash show that has ever existed on reality TV. And I think it only had like two seasons and then went away. But I was just like, how on earth are people that love Tiger King not into this show? Because this was like the first Tiger King. Small Town Security is
always stranger than fiction. This is something I've learned. I know that's a saying. What I'm learning as I get older is that all these things I thought were cliches, they actually mean something. Like there was like, yeah, truth is stranger than fiction. And so you could not create a show like Tiger King out of your mind. Okay, it's you just have to. This is a real rabbit hole to fall down. You know,
she had a public access TV show. I mean, it's like literally one of the most delusional, insane people you've ever seen. And what was amazing is the AMC gave her this show, and it did very, very well. I think in the first season or two, had this cult following, and then that just fed her insanity even more. So it's like, it's just this kind of, it's in a weird way, it was almost like a precursor to social media and influencer culture. Like she is the perfect example of like the strangest kind of narcissism, like reaching its peak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Speaking of narcissism and craziness, I did want to pull this up. This is did you see this going around?
No, my God. I know Greg though, but yeah, I didn't.
I'm just going to play this. It's really short. This is Kamala Harris.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion about some of the most pressing issues of our time. I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit. And
wow. My God. You have to see a clip like that and just go like, gas is $7 a gallon. Do these people give a fuck about what everyday Americans are dealing with? Like the Democratic Party has gotten so crazy. Like I remember when they used to be like, we're the party of the little guy. And it's like, you're the party of someone who doesn't exist anymore. Like you are the party of the fucking Matrix. You know what I mean? Like my pronouns, what are you there to discuss that day? Why don't you get down to topics at hand?
And I am wearing a blue suit.
Yeah. What does that have to do with anything?
Have you seen this before? Do you know why she's doing that?
No,
this is a social justice thing that I first saw in the knitting world on Instagram a few years ago.
Yeah, and you knitters are way ahead of your time.
There was a bunch of them in the chat.
Really on the, yeah. You guys were on the cutting edge of culture.
It's so the reason that they're doing it, by the way, before I share that, just look at this meme. This kind of encapsulates what you're saying. This guy on the left says, please stop screwing up the economy. My family's starving. And then there's a picture of Kamala Harris saying, I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I'm a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
Insane.
Yeah. So what this originated, at least as far as I can tell, online. I'm not sure what part of the internet, but it did make its way to the knitting world on Instagram. And all the Instagram influencers in the knitting world, the social justice ones, they've been doing this for years now. They'll post pictures of their knitting projects, and then they'll say, you know, a green scarf laid out on a brown table with my white female hands knitting in the foreground.
Like an ASMR thing.
Yeah. And they say that they're doing it for blind people.
Okay.
That if you don't do this, if you don't dictate what everything looks like in all of your conversation, you're being sightist, you're being bigoted, you're being offensive to people who are differently abled. And it's an ableist thing.
I have no problem putting this out there. A lot of people have accused me of being sexist. Not true. A lot of people have accused me of being racist. Not true. But I will say this on your show. Fuck the blind. Nobody cares about you. All right. This has gone too far. The blind can go fuck themselves. Go back into your homes with your weird speech to text talking boxes that look like cell phones. We don't get out of society. We don't want you. You're worse than the retarded. The retarded have an excuse. Open your fucking eyes and look around you. Stop pretending to be blind. Fucking biggest made up illness ever.
Also,
I'm definitely gonna lose my sight for making that joke.
We're gonna get taken down. Cheeky Mayor is giving us, we have to let people know, people like myself, sarcasm alert.
Yes.
Let people know in this world, 2022.
I'm just like the biggest sight supremacist on the planet. Just get, if they can't see, get them out of my country.
This stream is going to get canceled. Josh Denny's
site supremacist. Please pass that around. I want to be known as the nation's foremost site supremacist.
Site supremacist? Oh, yes. My goodness. Okay, so you may not remember, but this started to percolate. It started to leave the internet, just like social justice itself. People told me, oh, don't worry about it, Carrie. It's just contained to college campuses. It's just contained to the internet. Don't worry about it. No, it's not. Now it's in our political parties. It's in the media. It's in all of our corporations. It's everywhere. And so this same thing started to leave the internet and make it into mainstream media. Do you remember this, Josh? This was from just this past year. It was a news channel. And I think this was the first time I saw it go mainstream. Can you see that?
It's rolling slowly. Okay. Bug men are now greeting each other by stating their F and hairstyle. I have not seen this, by all means.
Hello, everyone. I'm Natalie Godilla. I'm a Caucasian woman with long blonde hair, and I go by she, her. I'm a product marketing lead here at Microsoft and co-host of the podcast Security Unlocked with this guy.
Yes, that would be me. Hello, everyone. I'm Nick Fillingham. I'm a Caucasian man with glasses and a beard. I go by he, him, and I'm a security evangelist here at Microsoft. We are so excited to be with
you. I'm so excited about the fact that he has an accent and a blind person is just sitting there going, did he say beard or bead? Like a single bead or beads? And are they neck beads or anal beads? Ah, I'm going to have to get a book. I'm going to have to touch a book and figure out what he means. Does this guy have a biography I can feel my way through?
Right. Also, why are you describing colors like Kamala Harris? Like, I'm wearing a blue shirt. Okay, well, if you're blind, what does blue mean? I mean, I don't know, but can you compare it to something?
Also, I love the idea that there are racist blind people going, blacks, change the channel. I just said he was black. Honey, turn the channel for me since I can't see anything. I don't want to listen to these. And he just drops the N-bomb. I don't want to listen to these. She goes, what's wrong? He said he was black. That's all I need to hear. That's why, again, like the things like that are so stupid. Why would you tell the blind what race you are so that they can discriminate against you when up until that time they were just judging you on the content of your character? Good call. Good call, woke America.
Oh my goodness. It's really the it's the Clayton Bigsby sketch. It's the blind.
It really is. And what's so funny to me is it's like I was talking about this the other day when people were like they were talking about the pink sauce. Did you see this viral story of the black chef in Florida? So there's this black female chef in Florida who created this pink sauce, which is like a dragon fruit ranch, as if those two things ever needed to meet each other. And she started selling it, and of course she's a moron, she started basically just mixing ranch and her own buttermilk ranch and dragon fruit and like blending it and putting it in bottles and sending it out, and not necessarily focused on preservatives or anything. So people were getting like hot curdled dairy and they're eating it and they're getting sick and they're like, we're going to sue this woman. And then there are literally people on the internet who are like, hey man, you got to be patient with black owned businesses. Sometimes we don't have our shit together, and sometimes we'd be poisoning people and getting them sick because we don't know what the FDA stands for. And I'm like, that is literal racism. The idea that black owned businesses are supposed to be held to some lower standard is the definition of racism. And then I was like, did Postmates and Uber Eats and all those companies realize that when they're like, we're going to advertise which businesses are black owned? And I'm like, I guess I'm not going to order from here if I don't want to wait 3.5 hours for my food. So skip it. Like, is there a way I can filter out the black owned businesses? Like, you're giving us the opportunity to be racist that we didn't have before.
And there's several requests.
I toggle off the black owned businesses. I have to have dinner today. I can't wait till tomorrow.
We can't hold them to the same standards.
That was so funny. Like, one of my most infamous interviews is when I went on, after my first canceling in 18, I went on Van Lathan's Red Pill podcast. Van was the black guy from TMZ, sports host, who went off on Kanye. If you remember, he was the one who freaked out on Kanye when Kanye said slavery was a choice or sounded like a choice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he went nuts. And then I went on his show after the internet called me a racist, 'cause I was like, this is a good idea. And he made one of these posts like shortly after we had done that show. He's like, you got to be patient with black owned businesses. You know, they don't always have their paperwork together. They don't always, it's like, well, you're literally saying like, give us special treatment because we aren't equal. I would never say that.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds to me like you're more racist than I am. I would go, hey, black people, you're every bit as good as we are. How about you get your fucking shit together and run a business like a business? How about that?
Yeah.
And but they would call me racist and they would call him woke. Isn't that insane? That's insane.
It is insane. Yeah. My co-host on Wednesday nights, we were just talking about this the other night. It's that bigotry of low expectations. You can't hold us to this. You can't hold black people, or you can't hold women to the same standards. You know, they're not going to have their stuff together. They're not going to be able to get a driver's license. You know, they're not going to be able to score as high, or you know, get a like there was this whole push a while back when it came to sex about how men needed to start boycotting panels, like professional panels and things, if there were no women on it. Mm-hmm. And it was from that
what if it's a panel for male porn stars? How many women are supposed to be on that? Like, male porn stars talking about erectile dysfunction. Well, technically I can't be on this panel unless there's some women up here pretending they have penises and know what they're like. But by all means, go on.
But I saw that start in the scientific community, and it came from this place of like, well, women need an extra hand up to get on these panels. You know, they're not going to just naturally. It's so offensive. It's like, no, like, I don't need men. Women don't need men to do that for them. Like, just treat us the same. Don't treat us like we're down here and need help.
Yeah, but women have to stop treating themselves that way too, because there are a lot of women who are like, I want to be treated exactly the same as a man. And you go, the dinner check just came. And she goes, I'm a little girl. I don't have money for dinner. Can you pay? I'll give you a little sucker sock if you pay for dinner. I don't know why she turned into an Asian woman, but
look, this is how I've become in the division of chores. Though I've completely become that person where I'm like, you know what, like, you can dig the trench outside and tear the chimney down, I'll make dinner. Or I'll do the laundry.
Yeah, right? That's what our moms did back in the 50s. Not our moms, because I think we're both too young for that. But that's what our grandmothers did. Our grandmothers are like, look, you go do a man job and make the money and pay the bills. I will cook the food. I will beat these children. I will suck the cock when you come home. That's the deal. That's the division of labor. And then the women who didn't suck the cock, they got cheated on. That's why Italians had mistresses and stuff. So,
that's,
you know,
why?
But they did all those other things. Yeah.
I don't know.
Everyone
if that's
needs to
why.
Go back and watch Sopranos. It's and Mad Men. If you watch Sopranos and Mad Men, you'll be like, "What did we do to this country?"
my husband watched The Sopranos last night. There's some new movie out. I never watched the series, so
Yeah, you must have watched the prequel movie. Was it the
yes? Something? That's what he said.
Many
yeah,
States of Newark. Yeah,
he's a big fan, so he was watching that last night. Okay, so I had something else I wanted to show you. Now this one has been big news, so I'm sure you saw this. And again, we're living in a time period where I'm like, are we being punked? Is this for real? But it is. This is Zelensky's Vogue photo shoot.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Did you see this?
No, I didn't. Thank God you're showing me a bunch of things I'm not seeing. That means I'm doing a good job of avoiding the insanity.
Yeah. So Vogue went over to the Ukraine and they sent Annie Leibovitz to do all of these sort of like fashion photography.
That guy is literally whole. Is that his wife?
Yes.
He's literally holding her hand like she's his state-sponsored assigned beard. Like, I don't like being the company of women. I prefer company of men. But if I must hold woman hand, I guess this will do.
And if you scroll down, there's some of her with, look
that
at these
guy's
soldiers.
Holding his wife's hand like I would hold a man's erect penis. This is not for me. Sorry. I do for photo, but hurry up, take picture.
This is him his back to her. Look at this. They're here with a stockpile of...
Was that rice? Cement?
Rice what is or something. That?
Yeah, she's about to 90-day fiancé her way the fuck out of there, I'll tell you that. She's chat with some fat computer programmer from Seattle right now, like, I come to America?
This is the most distasteful one to me, though. She's standing in front of this wreckage, and there's two soldiers behind her, and she's posed in this
is
sort
that a
of
woman
typical...
soldier to the right, by the way? Hilarious, right? Yeah,
I can't tell.
I think it is. It's the most strange looking man you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, kind of a duck lips going on back there.
Looks like Chris Kardashian in the background.
So people are surprised that everyone was divided. This is the cover of Vogue.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't look like he likes her anymore in that picture.
I know. Well, plus it's like, this is not your grandfather's war, right? Like, I just can't imagine Vogue doing a photo shoot during the middle of a war.
I wish we could go back and just like get the Vogue photo shoot of like FDR's wife jerking him off under the wheelchair blanket.
I'm going to put you in a timeout. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, God forbid I spice it up and pepper it some jokes.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad. There's actually a ton of people in the chat. I don't know if you've seen it. They're like, I love this guy. I want him a part of the community. Oh, man. Okay, well, there have been some really creative Photoshops of this. There was one of Alex Stein and
please.
AOC.
Oh, that's it. Please show me these. I got to see these. This is great.
Let's see if I can pull one of these up. I'm so happy you got to come on today.
I know. It's fun. I feel like I'm definitely in a better mood than I was when we tried to do this earlier in the week because I was having computer issues.
Computer problems.
Problems. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I got it sorted out, though. That's one of the things that's so unfortunate is like the last time I made a good amount of money when I was doing my show several years ago, I was like, I'm going to upgrade all my computers and stuff. And then it's been many years since I've done that. And then now I'm like, God, I got to upgrade all these computers again. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's perfect. I also love that she's just looking off into the distance. This is my absolute favorite thing. That's so good. It is only a matter of time before she goes blonde, too, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. This is why the internet still, there's still some really great things about the internet. One is the silliness. I love the silliness. So
yeah, this kind of stuff is great. That's what the internet is great for. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. And people work quick on that too. It's so funny. Like, you know, there's been times where I will be on like Gavin's show or Anthony's show and we'll like make a joke and then they'll have Photoshopped images that like are like illustrations of what we were joking about within 10 minutes of us saying something. It's wild how quick people work on the internet.
I've seen that on the Friday Night Tights guys. Their audience is amazing. They're really quick Chrissy's, like that.
Yeah.
Oh, and Chrissy's. Yeah. Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. They come out with the Photoshops really quickly. Someone Photoshopped me into a handmade.
Oh, okay. The handmade very cool. Style.
Yeah. So I have some other news items, Josh, but they're kind of downers. Maybe we shouldn't talk about them because you had me laughing.
I bet they're not downers. I'll find the funny and bring them out. Who's dead? I'll talk about how they deserved it. Let's go.
Well, this one hits close to where I live. This is
my specialty.
Austin
when
story.
Somebody goes, literally, you remember in Back to the Future when he's like, nobody calls me chicken. If somebody goes, there's no way you could make this funny, I'm like, present it. Please present it.
Okay. So this is an article from Lives of TikTok. And this is about Austin, so it hits close to where I'm at.
Oh,
kindergartners taught that whites make it harder for black people. You're already laughing.
I'm just picturing the black kids with a lemonade stand and you know, a kindergarten class trying to explain how systemic racism is why their lemonade's not selling.
You're not far off, because if you scroll down, you see this is at from a private school, a posh private school in Austin, Texas. Here's their sign. This was their sign for March of this year. Good morning, sunflowers. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2022. Let's keep talking about freedom. Are there some people that have more freedom? Let's share our thoughts. And then they have a list. And this is for kindergartners, mind you. Number one, New York has more freedom to vote than Texas.
Okay.
Number two, black people have less and whites have more.
If I were in this school as a kindergarten, I would write brain cells after less. And then I would go, who wrote that? Who wrote that? I guess it's true. Let's unpack, children. And they would go, I didn't write that. You go, Steven, you wrote it and you're going to own it and you're going to defend it. Who told you that they have less in the brain? And why? Why do you think that is?
Miss Praxis, which is that's an appropriate name. Yeah, she's Ms. the one that Praxis. Told us.
Yeah.
Number three, money means more freedom.
Only true statement I've seen so far.
Sorry, I'm so loud. Okay. Number four, whites make it harder for black people.
Okay. I love that we're just throwing whites around like it's fine. Like, I don't think in the height of segregation, you'd go into a kindergarten and be like, let's talk about why N's shouldn't go to school with us. It wouldn't just be on a board like that. Maybe it was, I don't know. But yeah. Jesus, just the whites make it. What are whites, by the way? You know what I mean? Whites are like people's underwear. Like after a few years, there's a lot of variation in how, what are whites? You know what I mean? Like, because I guarantee this is what's so funny to me when you get into the discussion of reparations. So how do you decide? Is it anybody who looks like they're black enough to get reparations? Because what if they're the black people who are the descendants of slave owners? Or what if there are people who look like me who actually are the descendants of slaves? You'd have to really dive into people's genetics to really understand who would have come from those different sects of society 100, 200 years ago. It doesn't take... Like, there are people, what's the artist's name? I think her name is Halsey, right? She's actually black, but her skin tone is white. Or the kid Logic, I think it's Halsey who is that way. But Logic, definitely. He looks like Squints Palidorus from Sandlot, and his father's black. And so, like, is he black or white in the way that we talk about these things? So does Logic make it harder on black rappers because he's white? You know, it's just, or he's white passing. That's the other one that they love to throw around. It's just so disturbing that kindergartners are already regurgitating this propaganda.
They're putting it on to them too. Like, yeah, instead of teaching them not to regard race as something that's important, they're doing the exact opposite. It's what you talked about before with the vase. Would you have broken it if I hadn't told you? They're talking to 5-year-olds and saying, hey guys, your race is really important, and let me talk about why. Black people are like this, white people are like this, and putting it on children, you know? I find it really, thank you for helping me laugh at it, because it makes me sick. Here we go. Number 5, whites, boss, POC.
Underline boss. We have to put boss.
Yeah.
Whites, boss, POC around.
Threatening body language.
Yeah. Yeah. We know how when whites walk down the street, everyone's terrified and crosses the street and walks the other way. Right. Mm. Tremendous amounts of violent white on white crime in all these neighborhoods. I mean, you know, anybody who is on the internet should be able to laugh at the absurdity of this. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and this is the problem, is that, my generation grew up with them telling us we aren't any different. We're all the same. And that was a lie. We are not the same. We are not the same. We have different values. We have different culture. We have different perspective on the world. We should be talking about those differences and then relating over the things that make us similar, not pretending that there were never any differences in the first place, because now that it's sort of like what you talked about earlier with religion. By taking the idea of forced prayer out of school, a new religion has taken its place. And by taking the discussion of racial difference out of school, a new racism has taken its place, which are white people are evil. There is this inherent evil of being white, and it's just, there's nothing you can do about it. It's like, imagine if you went into kindergarten and told every child they were homosexual and you were going to cure them. And that's what they're doing with race. They're going, you're white, sorry, but we can cure you.
You're all racist. We're going to cure you.
We're going to fix it. I know you didn't pick it. I know you were born that way, but we can change you. We can take away all the horrible things about being a white person that you inherited by being born, and we can fix it. And it's like, this, if this shoe was on the other foot, I just want to start a kindergarten so I can make the white alternative to this, where it's just blacks do this, blacks make it, blacks ruin everything, blacks ruin school. You know, was it? Money means freedom. I guess Jay-Z's fucking broke, right? There are no rich black people in America. This is fucking retarded.
It's so stupid.
Is this a special ed class? This feels like a special ed class.
No, this is a very elite, expensive private school in woke Austin.
By the way, I love this. Whites are horrible. Whites are bad. By the way, tomorrow's pajama day, everybody. If I were white, I would come in a full Klan outfit and go, these are my pajamas. You guys told us that we're racist, and you know what? I went home and I asked my parents for pajamas, and this is what they gave me. Turns out you're right. Turns out everything you told us in school is right.
Yeah. Somebody says praxis sounds like practice, and it means putting lunacy into practice. Yes, it totally does. True. It does. And that happens to be this teacher's name, which is kind of crazy.
This is nuts.
Because they like to say, just for anyone who doesn't know what that means, they like to say, well, critical race theory isn't in schools. It's not in kindergartens. And it's true that they don't sit down and tell kindergartners, hey, we're going to teach you about critical race theory and what it is. They don't do that. What they do is worse. They do praxis. Praxis means they bring in the beliefs in everything. It infiltrates everything they're teaching. So all of the conclusions of the theory, all of the conclusions that critical race theory draws, they bring them into this. You see it on this sign that white people are bad and white people hurt people of color and white people have more freedom.
See, the only way you can combat this, I really believe this, if you have kids in school, the only way to combat this is to infiltrate it with nonsense. You can't go directly against it. But what I would do is I would send my child into the school and they would go, Miss Praxis, my dad says that sunflower is a derogatory word for black people. He says it's like the N-word. So why are we calling each other sunflowers? And then I would just send him in with misinformation to destroy their propaganda every day and make them answer to nonsense. My dad says that black people come from zebras. I know a lot of people say a different animals, but he says it's zebras. Can you explain? Like, I would just send my child in with nonsense every day and completely disrupt this stuff. Because eventually this, none of these kids will have any sort of performative capability to pass any standardized testing. And then all of these places will lose their funding. That you have to sort of like infiltrate it with, it's almost like a weird, like a proxy war where you have to go in and just completely render them incapable of actually educating. And then they will lose their licenses and their funding and everything else.
Yeah. The funny thing is that you probably could send your kid in with lots of crazy stuff like that about white people, and they would incorporate it. Like if they were just to come in and be like, white people come from macaques, you know, be like,
Yeah.
Or white people, something, who's that BLM leader in Canada who she,
Justin Trudeau.
Oh, nice. No,
he's black, right? Every picture I've seen of him, he looks like a black gentleman.
He does wear a lot of blackface.
Oh, that's a makeup? I thought he was genuinely black. I thought all the pictures of him with a white face was just racism. I thought people were photoshopping that to be racist. No. Because a prime minister can't be, you know, has to be white, right? So that's
right.
I thought that was just anti-black racism.
He has been in blackface many times. If there's any leftists watching this and they're not aware, he's not the BLM leader. I meant though. She said in seriousness that white people are evil because we don't have melanin.
So, oh yeah, yeah. Nick Cannon said that about whites and then never got canceled from any of his shows or work. He said white people are inherently evil because of their lack of melanin in their skin. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because it's really making them saints out here in America. I've never met an evil black person in my entire life, right? You know. Roll credits. You know what I mean? Like, black people have never done anything wrong in the history of recorded society ever, right?
I'm sorry that I cut you off. You were about to say something else about Trudeau.
I was saying that's the kind of stuff we should start pushing. We should stop going, ooh, he wore blackface and he's a leftist. We should be taking it a next step and going, he is actually black. And any pictures you see of him as a white person is just anti-black racism. Like, we should be going so far the other way with these people to where he actually has to come out and make a statement and say, a lot of people are saying that I'm actually black and that the images of me as a white man are doctored. I just want to tell everyone that I'm not black. That's how you got to come at him. You can't make him apologize for the blackface. You just gotta make, you gotta pretend that he's really black, that he's tricking you, and then you gotta make him answer for that.
I like your strategy. This is, what would you say about the Indian pictures? I think these are the
Indian.
Most cringe.
Everyone, he is like Kamala Harris. Everyone knows that he's both Indian and black. I don't understand what the controversy is. He's the most Indian person I've ever seen in my life.
Isn't he
Priyanka Chopra's brother? Everyone knows that.
You're going to start putting this out there. He's one of the creepiest people I think I've seen in politics, Trudeau. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he is the final form. He's the final form of the bend. You know what politicians have become? You ever see those inflatable tube men in front of a car dealership? Like,
yes.
That's what every politician has become. Whatever way the wind blows, I'm over here now. Ooh, over here. It's there. That's what a politician is. And he is the final form of that. Like, I want to push them over the edge of their own ideology. I want to be like, if you don't cut off your own dick, you're anti-trans. You got to do it. Do it.
First.
Yeah. You got to cut it off. I have a rule now. I will not call you the pronoun until you present me a severed penis. You're a they, them while you're transitioning. And then I will call you whatever the other thing is when you've either tucked it or chopped it. Those are your choices, right?
They are.
I want to see. You got to prove to me that you've mutilated yourself. And then I will call you he, she, whatever the new thing is.
But until then,
you're a they, them.
They are pushing the medical and surgical transition of kids a lot more forcefully than they used to be. I just saw a video yesterday or the day before with I believe it was a pediatrician in California who was giving a presentation, and she was talking about children having double mastectomies. And she was saying adolescents.
I need one of those. I got a little crazy with the baking during the pandemic. I need one of them. I think I need a triple mastectomy.
Didn't you used to do a food show?
Yeah, but I got fatter afterwards. It set me on a trajectory to mastectomy. I'll tell you that.
Trajectory to mastectomy. She was saying that adolescents are fully capable of making a fully informed, rational decision about whether or not to get an elective double mastectomy.
They're not. They don't have a fully formed opinion on whether or not to go to fucking prom. Why are we giving them the ability to make life-altering decisions?
Yeah. That's what I usually like to ask them, is just sort of, I went to New York Pride with Billboard Chris and got to walk around and talk to people about gender ideology with him and Mike Harlow and Alex Stein and the Dangerous Wreck guys. And I had a few conversations with people who weren't screaming at me. And one of the questions I was asking them is sort of like, don't you agree that there are certain things in society that society has said, we're going to restrict these things that adults can do from kids, like drinking, smoking, driving a car, buying a gun, you know, getting a tattoo.
Yeah. I was just about to say, imagine being a teenager and being like, I'm 15. Can I join the military? No. Can I drink? No. Can I buy a gun? No. Can I consent to sex? No. What about chopping off my dick? Have at it, young man.
Yes, exactly.
Are we out of our minds? Oh my God.
We are out of our minds.
What if I want to chop off my dick? Hey, listen, your body, your choice. I want to put booze in my body. Not that choice. No, you can't do it because we don't think your brain is formed enough yet to handle alcohol. What about chopping my dick off? That is fine, but don't do it drunk. If you get drunk and do it to numb the pain, absolutely not.
Read this one.
Yeah, this is great. A 12-year-old cannot get their ears pierced. Either way, I think we just found out how we're going to save Claire's boutique. We're going to start doing gender transition in the fucking piercing chair. You're going to go to a piercing pagoda kiosk now in the mall. Mom, can I get my dick off? Not until you're 12. Didn't we discuss this? And you better get them grades up. If you want to cut that dick off, like all your friends, you're going to have to get them grades up, and then I'll take you to Claire's.
Claire's does need a revival.
But Mom, everybody's doing it. I know, but not with a C in English. They're not.
Oh, my goodness, Josh.
Please. Can we please start a campaign to get me to be the new CEO of Claire's Boutique?
Somebody.
We'll pierce it. We'll chop it. We'll do it all. We are really like a human chop shop in here.
Somebody who knows
that Claire's will bring back malls.
Bring back malls. Somebody who knows Photoshop. Make it happen. Make the Claire's advertisement with Josh Denny.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay, sir. I did want to put one more thing from that same article, the Libs of TikTok article, because that school in Austin is not just teaching CRT through praxis. They're also teaching gender ideology. So this says, the concerned parent said they also...
God, look, a black person is stealing a white baby. Oh, my God. They're taking everything now. They must have found out how to make 43-inch televisions out of babies. They're looting it all. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Ow. Okay. The concerned parent said they also recently discovered that the book, It Feels Good to Be Yourself, was read to the kindergarten class. The book is about gender identity and non-binary people. A page from the book shown below reads, "What a baby's body looks like when they're born can be a clue to what the baby's gender will be, but not always. It also teaches that doctors, quote, guess what gender babies are, and sometimes they get it wrong."
Oh, my God. That black one is just like, Dad, when are you going to pick me up? it's so weird. Why is a black woman holding a white baby in that does not make any sense whatsoever.
It's just,
oh, she's the help. I get it now. That's why we were just watching. It's that movie, The Help. She picked up the white baby and she said, "You is kind, you is important." Okay.
I never saw that movie.
You never saw The Help? Come on.
No.
You didn't see my tweet earlier. I said, with all these slavery movies, why no video games? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, slavery video games?
Yeah, I go, well, no video games. And then somebody said, yeah, Denny's getting to work on Grand Theft Auto Antebellum.
No. Grand Horse Thief Auto.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be Horse Thieves? Yeah, I never saw The Help. There's a couple of classics, I guess, like recent classics I just never got around to. And I've been realizing, I guess this happens with age, is that the other day, Britney Spears or Justin Timberlake or somebody came on the radio and I was thinking, you know, I still think of them as a, like one of the newfangled singers that the kids like, and they're not. I mean, isn't Justin Bieber, like, they're pretty old now, right? Like, they've been out for a while, but time is moving faster for me. So anyway, that's an aside. It may not be happening to you, but I'm starting to feel old.
Oh yeah, I'm getting there. I'm having aches and pains I never had before, and you know, having a hard time staying awake past 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. It's like, what the fuck is happening?
yeah,
making dinner at like 4 o'clock. You know, it's just we went out to like a Mexican restaurant. This is so fun. This is such an inside true thing. We went out to like dinner at our local Mexican restaurant like last week or whatever. And I was like, you know, I like this place and it's close to home. We should make this a regular thing. And I was like, oh my God, I'm my father. Like, I'm turning it like, we should just come to the same restaurant at least once a week. And just, this should be our place. That's such an old man thing to think of. Like, I would like to make, it's like you're trying to marry a restaurant. And my dad has this place where he lives that he's basically gone to since I was a kid all of the time for most of his meals. And he's just like a regular there. And I was like, oh my God, I'm turning into the same person.
That sounds lovely to me. Why not have a place you go to once a week?
Yeah, I'm just
right?
Like, the service is great. The menu's expansive. It's not too expensive. These prices are quite good. I'm just turning into like an old Jewish granddad.
We are working on renovating this old house, my husband and I.
Give it a month, Carrie, and I'll be going in and I'll be like, buddy, got Barbara at the door. She's not the good one. It's better when Jennifer's I like when Jennifer's here. She knows where I like to sit. She knows, you know, I'd say favorites. The kind of stuff our dads would say. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This Barbara's fucking useless. Jennifer. And I like how I'm saying it like any of them are not Mexican. Go on.
My husband, who is Mexican, his favorite is we just got a refrigerator, and I'm again middle age, right? Where my biggest excitement is like sometimes we just go in there and stand in front of the fridge and we're like, it's so beautiful. Like, this is our big thing. And then was like last Friday night, you know, I'm stripping the varnish off the floors and I'm just remembering what, you know, what it was like in my 20s. But it's very satisfying now.
I put together a new
work on my house.
I could put together a new entertainment center this week and it's like we bought a mansion. We're like, this really does tie, this dresses the whole room up, doesn't it? We're just such dorks. We're like, we're gonna, so we get the new entertainments. We bought a new TV and the new TV doesn't fit on the old entertainment center. So I had to buy a new entertainment center. And now we're like, why don't we just redo the apartment? And so we're buying art and we're doing all
and
these
it's
different
exciting.
Things. It's like the dumbest, like we're not going out and like, let's go like to a swingers party or like, let's go to, we're just like, ooh, what if we put a painting up on the wall over in this room instead of the old art we have? Like,
yes,
and then you find yourself having these conversations. Like since we moved in 10 years ago, I've had these Sopranos season 5 framed posters up from when I was like 20. And I got my own bachelor pad and I was like, I'm going to have Sopranos posters over the wall because it was like 2003. And that was when that was the biggest show at the time. And I had like a poker room in my apartment and everything. Well, I just have brought those to every place I've lived for the last 18 years. And we're talking about taking them down, putting other stuff up. And my girlfriend goes, I've always hated those fucking posters. And I go, what? And I go, you've never said anything. And she's like, well, I didn't want to, you know, you would have said you replace them then and you buy something. And she's like, you know, I didn't think you'd like what I liked. So I just never said anything. And I go, we've just lived with posters that you fucking hate in the living room for a decade. And I was like, this is how people stay married for 20 years. They keep their fucking mouth shut about little stuff like that.
We did a game, since we were just talking about our personal lives. We did a game the other night. We went on a date night to a restaurant that we enjoyed.
Oh, that's nice.
And we played, we looked up online and found there was this, you remember the Newlywed game?
Of course, yeah.
Dating, that was a game show. So there was like some online thing where you can do, and you do the questions, and they had some where you have to answer questions about your spouse, and they had others where you answer at the same time. And that it was, I ended up being hilarious because you don't know how much you don't know, and how you, what you're talking, you don't know that you're, that she didn't like your posters, for example. So there was one where you answer at the same time. It's like, who's the best driver? And he's, and you know, you answer, I'm like, me. And he's like, no, what is wrong?
Listen, I've never driven with either of you, and I would bet my, I would bet the chopping off of my penis that he's a better driver.
Look, you don't know about my gig jobs, but one of people paid me to drive them, Josh. I am a professional.
Me too. I've had that in my job history as well. How many accidents have you been in? That was the question.
Not that many.
Not that many. Some though, right? Some.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah. I've only been hit by other people in the last 25 years driving. Can you say the same?
I have only been hit by other people, and one time I hit something.
Of course.
I hit something.
Yeah. 1,000% more than me, a man. My girlfriend is such a bad driver, she'll come home with paint on her car that's not from her car.
Oh, this is true. I forgot about this.
What the fuck?
I forgot about it. Sorry, that did happen.
No, put what it back on saying? The screen. No, put it back on the screen, because I think you snagged it away before people could see. You're ripping the top of a van off at a car wash. Do you care to explain this to
people? I did. I forgot about it because I wasn't considering it an accident, but I did drive a van through one of those gas station car washes that was too big. I didn't realize it, and I had to gun it. I got stuck in there, and I had to gun it, and it ripped the top of the van off, and the car wash broke.
Wow, you broke a car wash? Yes. Oh, yeah. You guys should not be allowed to drive.
It was just a tiny bit too large. Anyway, what were you saying before that came up?
I would stake my life on the fact that, of course, the woman is always the worst driver. It's just,
it's a stereotype because it may be true on average, but not always. Yeah, I mean,
listen, Danica Patrick, the best woman driver in the history, and I don't think she ever won a championship. I mean, how many races did Danica Patrick win? Not a lot.
Well, anyway.
She's 40 and she's already been retired for like 10 fucking years. I mean, come on. What are her best?
Who is she?
She was a NASCAR driver. 191 races. Best finish was 24th. She only ever finished 24th, and she raced IndyCar. This woman was a professional race car driver for 8 years, and she never won a race, ever.
Okay, this is something I don't know anything about. Are most of the top NASCAR drivers men?
Of course, yeah. They'd never get through a race if it were half and half. Stop. And another caution flag, and we're under the yellow flag again. The pace cars come out. This is day 47 of the Daytona 100. She's never one win in IndyCar races in her entire. So in NASCAR, 191 races, only 7 top tens, 0 wins. In the NASCAR Xfinity Series, 61 races in 5 years. 7 top tens, 0 wins. In IndyCar, 116 races run, 1 win. She had 1 win ever in her eight to, and that, by the way, that's her professional racing career. She probably raced a lot longer than that. She's a year older than me, and she's already been, I think, retired from racing for 5 or 6 years.
You know what? I've never actually considered this before, but since you're talking about this, look at this. 10 reasons why men are better drivers than women. Number one, men are involved in fewer crashes.
Well, that's just a byproduct, but that's not why we're better.
Right.
It's just proof we're better, but sure.
The study showed that men have, on average, 5.1 crashes for every 1 million miles that they drive. Women, on the other hand, have 5.7 crashes for the same number of miles driven.
5.1, five times?
No, it's just a slight difference. 5.1 crashes for every million miles.
5.7, yeah.
Versus 5.7, but it says that these results are even more telling when you consider the fact that men drive 75% more miles than women do.
So we have to drive almost twice as much to hit as much shit as you guys, obviously.
Between the ages of 20 and 35, women and men are equally likely to be involved in crashes. Over age 35, women are more likely to be involved. Here's number
men
two, men
distracted by cell phones.
Oh, okay. According to a recent survey, women talk on the phone 22% more than men each month, a total of 14 hours and 16 minutes, presumably many of those hours logged while navigating a multi-ton automobile through the city streets. They put sleep PMS on here.
That's hilarious that they even put, you know how these bitches be bleeding? That messes all that blood up in there. You can't hit the pedals right. I don't know if women get into more accidents when they're on the rag, but they probably conspire to create more accidents when they're on the rag. Like, they don't necessarily crash the car so much as that they sabotage their significant other so that they have an accident, and then they have something to argue about and complain about. One of the funniest things ever was, when did you see this on the internet last week? Or maybe it was earlier this week, when the plastic surgeon did the video talking about Natalia Dyer, the girl from Stranger Things, face and all the stuff she would change on her face. So she did a video where she basically was like, here, this girl, Natalia Dyer, definitely anorexic, but she's got a great face. And this plastic surgeon was like, here's all the things wrong with her face and I would fix it. And she photoshopped it and did a video about all the things that she would do to like fix her face. And it was the most insane thing. And I said on Twitter, I said, only women would find problems where they don't exist and then come up with a solution for them. And then a woman commented on that tweet and said, some women. And then one of my fans said, did you just find a problem with this tweet and fix it? It was so perfect. But it was just like, it was literally like, it was like this, it was like Sideshow Bob stepping on the rake. It was so funny. But yeah, it was the most sad thing. Like, and then you wonder why these like young actresses in Hollywood hate themselves. It's because fucking female plastic surgeons are like, let's throw this skank's face up on the board and see how we could fix it. It's like, leave her alone. She's got skin. She's got a good face.
I didn't see that, but yeah, I watched the first couple seasons of that show. She's gorgeous, that girl.
Yeah. I mean, like, she does. I said, the joke I made was, the only thing her face needs to be injected with are cheeseburgers. Like, that's the issue. It's not, she doesn't need plastic surgery. She needs an increase in her caloric intake. But yeah, it's just like, it's so sad that this girl is obviously already having body dysmorphia issues because she's clearly anorexic. And you're like, let's talk about her fucked up face too. Like, that woman should be put in prison. And it's like this body alteration industrial complex that exists now that the Kardashians are almost 100% responsible for is so terrible. And I think the transgender thing is just an extension of that, where it's just like, you know, we grew up being told to learn to love ourselves. And I have an unhealthy level of that, to where I'm like, I don't mind being fat. It's a byproduct of loving food. Cause and effect. If I don't want to be fat, I'll just work out more and eat less and I'll fix it. But these people grow up believing, like, if my lips are wrong, I have to fix them. If my face isn't perfect, I have to change it. If my tits aren't big enough, I got to get some. It's like, my God, the things that human beings are doing to themselves. It's insane. I really want to see that new Cronenberg movie about like the surgery as a pastime or whatever. It was at Cannes and I guess it won a bunch of awards. I don't know the name of it, but it basically talks about this obsession we have with like perfecting our bodies. And it's this real, I think it's one of the most pernicious things in society that we have today, that just this idea that you should totally just butcher yourself until you
just
become
change.
this perfect image.
Just change everything. And you're right, it does play into the trans stuff. And I'm going to show you this. I mentioned this to you, but I didn't show it yet because she says something here. This is the LA pediatrician who says it's no big deal to cut off children's breasts. Just listen to what she says at the end.
So what we do know is that adolescents actually have the capacity to make a reasoned, logical decision. And here's the other thing in the question. If you want breasts at a later point in your life, you can go and get them.
And I did. I went and got a pair for myself and they are fantastic.
She talks about it like it's no big deal. Like go get fake breasts later after you've cut your real ones off as a child.
Well, do you remember this a few years ago when Angelina Jolie went and got hers removed because of like a cancer gene she found out that she has in her family? So she had a preventative mastectomy and women were like, oh, this is the most empowered thing you could do. We should all do this. We should all cut our tits off so we don't get cancer. And it's like, are you out of your fucking mind? You should also kill yourself so that you don't get fat. I mean, what are we talking about here? Yeah. Like, well, you know, life could be hard. So maybe that's the concept that people push when they're super pro abortion, where it's like, well, that baby could be born into a horrible life. So isn't it better to just bash it and avoid all that? It's like, no, that's not better.
Yeah,
that's not a better choice. Yeah. This idea that like we've become so macabre in this strange sense of happiness and humanity that there's nothing we won't butcher, cut up and kill for the idea of perfection. And that's so much about censorship and everything we're dealing with now. It's like, if you don't have the perfect thoughts, we have to kill you. If you don't have the perfect ideas and you don't agree with everything we say, we have to end your ability to speak. It's like this idea of surgery is the only solution for society with every problem we have. Everything we don't like has to be surgically altered or removed. And, you know, it's a real, there's a commonality to that. That's really gross, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Josh, this is kind of funny since we were just talking about PMS. I just got hit with some crazy, crazy cramps and I'm going to have to wrap this up.
Maybe it's because you're lying about how good of a driver you are. does your uterus think you're operating a motor vehicle? Is that what's happening?
I don't know what's happening. This never happened to me on a show before, but I don't think I can sit here because I'm in pain.
I won't take credit for it. If anything that makes women's insides turns, it's this body.
Damn. Okay. I'm gonna wrap the show up.
You should go cut all that junk out and then fix yourself so you don't have these cramp problems anymore. Hysterectomy is the only solution for this, just so you know.
You are too funny. Just remind people, you guys, we're gonna take off a little early. I'm sorry.
Feel better.
Thank you. That's so weird. We would remind people where they can find you online and the cities that you're going to be performing in.
They go to joshdennycomedy.com. Everything is over there. Then go to eventbrite.com/ I think Josh Denny Comedy and find all of our upcoming tour dates and events and everything else. So those two places, you can get pretty much access to everything. And go subscribe to my Gumroad. You get my podcast and all my bonus content over there. You can pay whatever you want, $1, $10. You can pay me in Claire's Boutique gift cards.
Somebody make that Claire's meme, please. Thank you, Josh. I had so much fun with you. I'm sorry to cut it short.
Yeah, me too. No, I hope you feel better.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. Take care.
Bye.